Hi, my name is Mary South, and I am a urogynecologist. Taking care of girl problems is the easiest way to describe what I do for a living. More specifically, I treat women with pelvic floor problems like urinary incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, pelvic pain, and recurrent urinary tract infections, just to name a few. Many women are affected by these conditions, yet few women are comfortable talking about them. Throughout this series of podcasts, I am going to pick specific conditions or topics to discuss. I will describe the symptoms, the workup, and the treatment. Rather than interviewing other experts in the field, you will listen to patients in my medical practice talk about their experiences with pelvic floor issues. You will hear from real women with real girl problems. In this episode of Girl Problems, we will discuss a form of bladder leakage called stress urinary incontinence. Female stress incontinence is very common and it can affect women of all ages. However, unlike urge urinary incontinence, where the incidence increases with increasing age, stress incontinence is the most common type of incontinence in younger women. The highest incidence of stress incontinence occurs in women in their late 40s. We will hear many examples of what women experience with this condition. But before we get started, I wanted to mention, for the purpose of historical documentation and as an explanation for sometimes muffled audio, due to the current pandemic, my patients and I are both wearing face masks during the interviews you will hear in this podcast. Stress incontinence is not due to emotional or psychological stress. Stress incontinence is actually due to involuntary leakage of urine that occurs with increases in intra-abdominal pressure, such as during exercise, sneezing, coughing, and laughing. Some women will even notice some leakage with intercourse, which many find to be very embarrassing. Hear this woman describe her symptoms of stress incontinence.
Tell me why you finally decided to come see me, or why did you decide to come see me?
Because I'm tired of leaking. I'm tired of having a pad all the time. I feel like I have a diaper on 24/7.
And what makes you leak?
Laughing is the worst. If I laugh, I can pee down to my knees. Coughing, lifting, sneezing, squatting, and I squat all day.
Okay. So you're ready.
I'm ready.
Stress incontinence is prevalent during and after pregnancy due to increases in intra-abdominal pressure from the growing uterus and injury to the pelvic floor and urethra during childbirth. However, some women can have stress incontinence even if they have never been pregnant. Some women report stress incontinence starting in adolescence or earlier, as in the following woman's case.
You have a diagnosis of stress incontinence. Can you tell me about your symptoms of stress incontinence?
When I sneeze, I usually leak urine. When I'm playing volleyball, like any kind of strenuous physical activity, I have some leakage, and with coughing too.
Okay, and how old are you?
27.
Okay, have you had any babies?
No.
Okay, so this has been going on for how long?
Since I was like a cheerleader in high school and I noticed it then.
As opposed to urge incontinence, where a woman can lose a large volume of urine very quickly with a bladder spasm, stress incontinence usually results in little squirts or drips of urine. With that said, many women still have to wear pads for this problem.
All right, so just tell me a little bit about your symptoms, your stress incontinence symptoms.
Well, when I exercise, when I run, I have that problem. I have to wear a pad all the time. When I cough, when I sneeze, when I laugh, mm-hmm. I saw the sign you had out front about laughing, how you had tears coming down your legs, and that was so true.
Yeah.
And, it's just, I can't go anywhere without a pad.
Okay.
Some women don't leak so much or so often that they feel they need to wear pads, but it can still affect their quality of life.
Okay, so can you just tell me a little bit about your symptoms related to your stress incontinence?
Yes, sometimes I'm coughing, sneezing for sure, some leakage. Definitely if I'm doing more physical exercise, mowing the grass, my panties are wet, afterwards, and so I definitely have to change after I'm done. So that's uncomfortable and not very good quality of life.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am always surprised to find out how many of my patients jump on trampolines, or rather, can't jump on trampolines because of stress incontinence.
So do you have problems with exercising and leaking?
Oh, absolutely. I cannot run. I cannot jump. When my daughter was 18 months old, I had her in gym tumbling class, and they let the parents jump on the trampoline with the kids. And every time I jumped up and down, it would just squirt right. Whoops, sorry. It would just squirt right out. I also drive a motorcycle.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Maybe I should not admit this. However, when I hit bumps, I'm the chuckle queen. Whenever I hit bumps or go over a railroad track, I do have to stand up on my bike because the jarring will also jar my bladder and
cause leakage.
Oh, right, right. It'll squirt urine there too.
Some women find that keeping their bladder less full can minimize leakage. Unfortunately, frequent voiding to prevent stress incontinence can result in an overactive bladder, as discussed in episode 2 of this series of podcasts.
So tell me about your, like, when you have an episode of stress incontinence, tell me what exactly happens.
If I don't cross my legs, then I have a decent amount of urine that leaves me wet, and I wear a panty liner every day, and sometimes I have to change it.
Yeah. And does it limit the activities that you can do?
It limits I would say yes, but if there's something I want to do, then I just make arrangements to make sure that I am wearing like a pad or something like that.
Like what kind of things might you
exercise? Yeah. Or like if I was going to just like, I go boating. Mm-hmm. And so being on the boat can be difficult with the bouncing around. Have to just make sure that being able to go to the bathroom is available to me.
Okay, just to keep your bladder less full.
Correct.
I often hear women describe crossing their legs as a method to prevent leakage.
All right, so can you tell me a little bit about your symptoms of stress incontinence? Like what happens when you cough or sneeze?
Oh, I just squirt urine. It just goes flying right out.
So what do you do to try and prevent it from happening?
Gosh, I try to make sure I use the bathroom as soon as I feel I have the urge to go. I do not wait. If I have to cough, sneeze, I squeeze my muscles really tight and cross my legs and hope for the best.
Okay.
If I laugh,
yeah.
If someone gets me going like a belly laugh, it'll just squirt right out, and then I'll have to excuse myself and go change.
Got it.
Because that can be really bad.
Yeah. It seems like you probably laugh a lot.
I do. Life is meant to be fun. I would hope.
The diagnosis of stress incontinence is straightforward. The workup starts with a careful history and physical exam. While taking a medical history, it is essential to ask questions that differentiate stress incontinence from other types of urinary incontinence, such as urge incontinence and what we sometimes refer to as overflow incontinence. Overflow incontinence can present like stress incontinence, but is actually due to an inability to empty the bladder fully. Therefore, if the bladder is full, then small increases in intra-abdominal pressure can cause leakage. For this reason, I often empty the patient's bladder with a tiny catheter during the exam to make sure she is emptying her bladder properly. We will also check a urine sample for infection, as sometimes bladder infections can result in incontinence or inability to control the bladder. Finally, we will usually have the patient cough during the exam to see actual leakage of urine from the opening of her urethra. We often need to schedule the patient for bladder testing or urodynamics in our office to demonstrate the incontinence and fully understand her bladder function. Urodynamics is a procedure whereby we fill the bladder with water and look for leakage episodes or bladder spasms. This test tells us how well a patient's bladder empties during voiding and how stable it is during filling. I want to note that some patients can have mixed urinary incontinence where they suffer from both stress incontinence and overactive bladder with urge incontinence. Both problems can be addressed, usually with different treatment options, to resolve incontinence. I am happy when I see a patient on my schedule for evaluation of stress incontinence. If you are not a urogynecologist, that probably sounds strange, But the reason behind this feeling is that treating stress incontinence can usually be accomplished with a simple outpatient procedure. Furthermore, treatment usually results in a permanent cure. I have many satisfied patients, and most women tell me that they regret that they did not seek treatment sooner. We offer different treatment options for patients, ranging from non-surgical to surgical procedures. All of the treatments are minimally invasive. Based on guidelines from the American College of Physicians, pelvic floor muscle exercises, or Kegel exercises, can improve stress urinary incontinence symptoms. We often provide a handout detailing how to do these exercises at home, but you can also have formal training in our office or with a local pelvic floor physical therapist. Another non-surgical treatment option is using a pessary, or in this case, we refer to it as an incontinence ring. This is a silicone device that you place in your vagina. This device is a ring with a little knob on it that sits under your urethra, supporting your urethra during episodes of increased physical stress, preventing leakage. The pessary can be removed and cleaned and replaced as needed. We also offer radiofrequency treatment to the urethra in our office. Radiofrequency treatment for stress incontinence is not covered by insurance, as it is considered investigational. The last two procedures I will discuss more extensively in separate episodes, but will briefly touch on them here. The first treatment is a procedure called urethral bulking. A bulking agent is used to plump up the inside of the urethra to prevent leakage. In this case, we use Bulkamid, which was FDA approved in the United States for treatment of female stress incontinence in January of 2020. This treatment can be performed in the office and takes just a few minutes with minimal discomfort. Although I have used different bulking agents in the past, Bulkamid appears to be very durable with excellent results. Here, this woman described her experience with Bulkamid.
We recently treated you for stress incontinence using the Bulkamid procedure. Tell me a little bit about your symptoms prior to the treatment.
I would, anytime I laugh, cough, sneeze, I would pee. Anytime I would walk for a long distance, I would also, you know, there would be pee. They did the first round, and there was still a little bit. Then I came back in for another treatment and put another, is it like the layer of?
Another dose of the Bulkamid. Okay. Yeah.
And then now I don't leak anymore.
And the procedure, so you're completely free of leakage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's awesome. And how old are you?
31.
Okay. And tell me about the procedure itself. Did you find it painful?
No, I mean, it hurt a little bit, but it wasn't anything you can't deal with. So.
Mm-hmm. Would you describe it as a short procedure or long procedure?
Short.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the gold standard treatment for stress incontinence is the midurethral sling. The sling is a minimally invasive procedure using a transvaginal mesh performed in the operating room under anesthesia. The procedure itself takes about 10 to 20 minutes. Patients can go home the same day and usually only require a day or two of recovery time. Hear this woman's experience with the sling.
We did a sling for you a couple of weeks ago, and I just want you to tell me a little bit about post-op, how you felt and what you noticed.
I noticed when I sneezed or coughed, I didn't have any leaking at all. It only hurt at the incisions where you put the camera in there.
Well, no, the sling comes out those two little holes at your pubic symphysis. So that's where it comes out, and I just trim it right there and glue it a little bit.
Okay.
So
that was the only thing that it didn't hurt. It was just achy.
Achy. Uh-huh. And how long did that achiness last?
About 2 days or
okay.
so.
Okay.
And then I woke up probably 2 days after. It was Sunday, and I just felt like myself.
Okay. Do you work outside the home?
I do.
Okay. So we did yours on a Friday, and you went back to work when?
I went back Monday.
Okay. Any problems with going back to work?
Nope. I had, like, a small plushy blanket that I put on my chair. Just have some extra cushion there, and it was fine. I watched the first couple of days just lifting and bending down and things like that. But after that first couple of days, by Wednesday, I was doing what I normally do.
Awesome. All right, thanks.
As I mentioned before, I plan to do a more in-depth podcast on both the Bulkamid procedure and the sling procedure in future episodes. I hope this podcast provided helpful information. My goal with these podcasts is to educate and help women with their expectations when seeing their doctor with these pelvic health issues. I also want my patients and women in general to know that they are not alone. So many women tell me the same thing over and over again. Stay tuned for more podcasts on other pelvic floor health topics soon. If you have more questions, please feel free to reach out to me or your local urogynecologist to find the answers you need. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We are here to help with your girl problems.